Hey there, Columbus, and welcome to Youth Beat here on Columbus Community Radio. I'm Lindsay, and as usual, I'll be your host for the evening. Tonight, we're going on a tour of the Franklin Park Conservatory to learn about everything it has to offer visitors of all ages. But before we stroll through a field of flowers, we'll get positive with our Positively Charged. And after that, we'll lean back and listen to some poetry, discover a new and unusual animal, and quote it up. First, though, we'll play you in with a soft, sweet song. Today, Dilly Dilly is a popular children's song, and even found its way into the live-action Cinderella movie released earlier this year. But its origins go much further back than Disney. The first vestiges of the song are found on pamphlets from 1672, and it was put to new lyrics in 1805. In 1948, Burl Ives revised the lyrics, keeping the familiar tune, and it was featured in the Disney movie So Dear to My Heart. The new lyrics were a hit, and the song actually won an Academy Award. The version we feature tonight, though, is from the aforementioned Cinderella and is sung by Laura Wright. That song for a multitude of reasons, including the melody. I just love how flute-like it is and the pretty soft sound of the lyrics. Reminds me of a spring day with Wash on the line and birds singing everywhere. But you didn't tune in to listen to me ramble about a 300-year-old rhyme, so we'll move on to a more interesting topic. This week's Positively Charged focuses on the story of one young woman's triumph in the face of childhood bullies. Though it is built on strife and suffering, it carries the poignant and priceless message that no one is ever alone. Upper Arlington students Abigail and Kendall have more on this powerful, Positively Charged.
In today's world, bullying has strong effects on children across the globe. Kendall Trudeau shares her personal story and the impact of being bullied. Because Kendall moved so much as a child, she was bullied internationally and nationally. Though Kendall was younger, the repercussions are still with her today. Not only was Kendall verbally bullied, but there were times where the bullies would take things too far. Let's take a closer look on her story. Hi, Kendall. Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get to it. How old were you when you were first bullied?
I believe I was around 6 years old. I had just moved to England, so I was known as the new girl, and I was starting a new school. Going back to the age, yeah, I would say around six.
What age did it stop?
It's definitely gone down a lot, but there are definitely times where I'm still experiencing types of bullying.
How did it affect your childhood?
Because I was at such a young age when I was first bullied, I definitely think that it made me question myself and question what was wrong with me all the time. I was definitely always sad and worried about if what I was doing was going to cause something today. So I definitely was depressed and sad most of the time, but there were times where I was happy.
How does it affect you today?
I know this is kind of weird to say, but I'm almost glad that I've had these experiences at especially such a young age, because it's shaped the type of person that I am today. I definitely am more conscientious of when I see bullying or when my friends talk to me about something that they've been through. So I think that it's helped me be like a better listener and just all around better person.
Were you ashamed of it?
Oh, yes, of course. At first, when I was first like getting into it and getting bullied, I was definitely ashamed because, as I mentioned before, it would always make me question and make me wonder, like, what's wrong with me? What am I doing that is making people not like me? Like, why am I different? You know, and I'm sure every kid would probably feel that same way. So, yeah, I definitely was ashamed of it at first. But now that I realize that it wasn't me, it was them, I'm not so ashamed of it, and looking back, I don't even know why I was ashamed of it.
What do you think the outcome of bullying has made on your life?
I think bullying has made me more aware of how often it can actually happen and how it actually can happen to different people every day. It's not just me. I also think that because I was being bullied, I am now just able to stay strong and like tell the experiences of my life. So if other people feel like they're alone in this, I can definitely say that they're not, because I've been there and I've gone through that. So I think that it not only helps me become a better person, but I'm able to help and share with others so they don't feel like they're alone in the situation.
I'm so glad that you were able to move past these horrible experiences. As we've mentioned before, bullying impacts children across the globe, so it is nice to hear that people are able to conquer such an obstacle. Thank you for taking time to share your story.
Once more, that was Abigail and Kendall of Upper Arlington High School. I'm Lindsay, and this is Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. Tonight, we'll be taking a field trip to the Franklin Park Conservatory, right here in Columbus, Ohio. From butterflies to biomes, this place has it all. Nicole Jackson talks to our reporter, Nishant Makija, about the many programs and possibilities offered by the conservatory.
We are here with Nicole Jackson, who is an educator at the Franklin Park Conservatory here in Columbus, Ohio. Good evening. Thank you so much, Nicole, for being with us.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Nicole, tell me a little bit about your position as the educator here at the Franklin Park Conservatory.
So I'm an educator here at the Franklin Park Conservatory and Botanical Gardens. It's a mouthful. I've been working here since May of 2013. I'm also a camp coordinator, so I do a lot of camp programs during the summer. I also do a lot of general adult programming throughout the year, as well as school programs during the spring months.
Can you tell me a little bit about what are the main attractions about the Franklin Park Conservatory?
Here at the conservatory, we're known for our butterflies. A lot of people come here to do a lot of sightseeing, more so than anything. So they come to see our butterflies, which they're here from March to September. And we have a lot of family programming, family fun events. We do a lot of education programs, cooking programs, art programs, and we're very well known for our Chihuly collection, which is scattered throughout the conservatory as well. We are inspired by horticulture, so a lot of what we have here is plants. So when you come to the conservatory, you'll see a lot of plants. We have a lot of exhibits focused around plants and art. That's a big part of it, being able to see a lot of colors, lines, shapes, anything relating to flowers themselves, as well as history, botanical history in general. So you're finding out a lot about discoverers, scientists that have actually went out to find these intricate flowers and study them for their uniqueness. Another thing we have is our Chihuly collection. We have our own personal Chihuly collection. I think we're one of two botanical gardens that have our own personal collection. So throughout the year, we're putting out the Chihuly paintings and glass just scattered throughout our biome. biomes, our main one being the Pacific Islands biome, which is where we house our butterflies. When people go into the butterfly room, there's a koi fish pond, there's a lot of tropical plants. We have a coconut tree, banana trees, we have even have a breadfruit tree, which is a staple food in the Pacific Islands. So with the chihuly, it's a main piece that we have in the Pacific Islands biome that really stands out. It really ties in with the rest of the room, and the butterflies love it because it absorbs a lot of light, and they like to land and fly near the sculpture because of the light and the colors. So it's a very vibrant area to be in and take pictures and just immerse yourself in this natural indoor setting. So the other part is our community garden campus, our Chase Community Garden Campus. And we have a lot of our food come from the gardens on that part of the conservatory. So 80% of what we grow, we actually use in our cafe, which is a big hit at the conservatory as well. A lot of people like to come and have lunch, sit with their family, eat and talk. It's a really good setting.
What is unique about this conservatory compared to other conservatories across the country?
So in the 90s, I believe 92, we had this big, huge, I think it was a national exhibit, if I'm not mistaken, called Ameriflora, and that brought people from all over the world. And it was originally, Franklin Park was just where the first fairgrounds were, and this is actually where the first zoo was as well. So it's been transformed since Ameriflora, because they had to add different spaces in order to expand what they wanted to do after Ameriflora. So it's a combination of people coming to a space to be immersed in the natural world in an urban setting. So we're bringing that natural world to them so they don't have to go very far. A lot of aesthetics. So you're looking at the colors, the smells of the flowers, touching things. It's very family oriented, very leisurely type of place. So it's just bringing the community together to look at a space in a different way, a natural space in a different way. So once the other parts were added, so the butterfly room and where the biomes are located, so we have the Himalayas, the tropical rainforest, and a desert biome, we're able to get more people to check out places that they wouldn't see on a regular basis. Not everybody can go to the Himalayas or the tropical rainforest, but we're creating these mini habitats.
Very cool. Now, can you tell me about some of the educational programs that you lead for the conservatory?
So right now I'm putting together a birdscaping class. I do a lot of bird watching in my spare time. And since we have gardens here, I thought we should put together a class that combines the two, because bird watching and gardening are a couple of the top hobbies in the United States. So I figured putting together a class that connects the two, where people can create a garden or a natural habitat to draw in wildlife, whether it be birds or mammals, that's something that can benefit them in an urban environment. Visitors come and they ask me about, you know, the birds or wildlife or the types of plants that they can, you know, they ask about what plants they could put in their yard to attract different types of birds, you know, like finches and robins and cardinals, things that they can draw in year round. So I feel like that's another opportunity for us to show them different ways of using the conservatory. And then I also do breakfast with birds. So that's a general class for any age. And I just do pretty much bird watching, kind of like introduction for people who aren't so familiar with bird watching to people who are really advanced and they've done it for years. So people can bring their kids, they can bring their friends, any age, and we pretty much just talk about birds and we do a hike around the conservatory grounds to see what we can find. So it's pretty basic, and it's for anybody who's interested in bird watching or wants to check out more of the conservatory grounds, something that they wouldn't normally see, and being exposed to the outer part, you know, of the main building. So seeing everything besides the main conservatory indoors.
So what are some of the main programs you offer for high school and college students here? And what are their objectives? What is the main purpose of these programs?
So I feel like when we do a lot of the school programs, we do have a good amount of college students coming. And usually we have a combination of school programs where teachers will schedule for a specific program. So for example, Blooms and Butterflies. caters to our Pacific Islands biome, which is where we house our butterflies. So most teachers plan field trips for that. But for the upper level grades, it's more of self-guided. Mm-hmm. So that's catered more towards the art program. So we might have a program relating to chihuly or plant biology or anything relating to photography mm-hmm. or painting even. Mm-hmm. So there's a combination of things that the students can do when they come to the conservatory. And I would say a lot of our cooking classes are pretty popular. Mm-hmm. Those are usually held in the evenings, but those can be for any age as well. Mm-hmm. And you can have outreach programs where we actually go to the schools and present programs to them based on what they're looking for.
And do you have a gardening program here at the conservatory?
We're working on revamping our school garden initiative program. So one of our other educators, Amy Rether, she is very, very good at putting the school programs together and applying them to the formal education.
Are there a lot of school groups that come here on field trips?
Yes, during the spring month. So starting in March all the way till, I would say, the beginning of June. That's mm-hmm. when the bulk of our schools come. So that can be preschool all the way up to 12th grade. Our target audience would be preschool all the way up to 3rd or 4th grade. Mm-hmm. That's where we have the most programs. And a lot of them are either blooms and butterflies or our garden programs.
Very cool. And I just have two last questions to ask you. What is your hope that the students are getting out of these programs here?
For me, it's learning something different, expanding their curiosity, seeing things in a different light, whether it be, you know, art, science, botany. They're being exposed to these different topics they probably, you know, in a classroom, they wouldn't see as exciting. Mm-hmm. I feel like informal education, we do a combination of informal and formal education. So I would consider myself an informal educator, and I'm learning a lot more about the formal, you know, the classroom types of programs and how we as environmental educators can help teachers that are in classrooms blend the, you know, the science, the math, the art, in natural settings.
And, you know, what makes this conservatory the most unique out of the other ones in New York mm-hmm. or Chicago?
I would say it makes it different because what we offer as far as our programs, our cooking programs are very popular. Our exhibits, last year we had our Bruce Monroe light exhibit, and that was very, very well received. We had, you know, people do proposals, people had weddings during that time. We even got nominated for an ESPY award for our Bruce Monroe exhibit. Just found out about that recently, so I'm very excited to hear that news. Mm-hmm. And just being able to come to a place that's in the city, it's not far away. You have all these options to choose from. There's always something new to see. There's always something different.
Thank you so much, Nicole Jackson, for talking with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Again, that was Nicole Jackson from the Franklin Park Conservatory. We're going to take a short music break now with one of my all-time favorites. This, guys and gals, is I Just Can't Wait to Be King from Disney's Lion King.
Seen a king or beast with quite so little hair.
I'm gonna be the main event like no king was before. I'm brushing up on looking down, I'm working on my
roar. Thus far a rather an inspiring thing.
Oh, I just can't wait to be king.
You've run a long way to go, young master, if you think.
No one's saying do this.
Now when I said that,
no one's saying be there. No one's saying stop that.
You don't
no one thinks see here.
Now see here.
We don't run around all day.
Well, that's definitely out.
We don't do it all my way.
it. Count me out. Out of service, out of Africa, I wouldn't hang about. This child is getting wildly out of wing.
Oh, I just can't wait to be king.
While we're all still swinging and swaying, let's shift into some poetry out loud. This marvelous organization was kind enough to let us record some of their talented performers, and tonight we feature Darian Harrington reciting Old Men Playing Basketball.
My name is Darian Harrington. I am a senior at Columbus Alternative High School, and the poem I will recite is called Old Men Playing Basketball by B.H. Fairchild. The heavy bodies lunge. The broken language of fake and drive, glamorous jump shots slowed to a stutter. Their gestures, in love again with the pure geometry of curves, rise toward the ball, falter, and fall away. On the boards, their hands and fingertips tremble, intense little prayers of reach and balance. Then, the grind of bone and socket, the caught breath, the sigh, the grunt of the body laboring to give birth to itself in their toiling and grand sweeps, I wonder, do they still make love to their wives? Kissing the undersides of their wrists, dancing the old soft shoe of desire? And on the long walk home from the VFW, do they still sing to the drunken moon? Stands full, clock moving, the one in the army fatigues and house shoes Tez to himself, pick and roll. And the phrase sounds musical as ever, radio crooning songs of love after the game, the girl leaning back in the Chevy's front seat as her raven hair flames in the shuddering light of the outdoor movie, and now he drives, gliding toward the net. A glass wand of autumn light breaks over the backboard. Boys rise up in old men, wings begin to sprout at their backs. The ball turns in the darkening air.
And, of course, no Youth Beat episode is complete without a creature feature. This week, we're heading to the Florida shores to meet one of the world's most lovable mammals. Manatees come in several subspecies, but tonight we'll be talking about them in general. Weighing from 500 to 1,300 pounds, these impressive herbivores have to consume a great deal of marine vegetation every day just to stay healthy. Over the course of 24 hours, they will consume about one-tenth of their body weight, close to 100 pounds of greenery. Because they often pick up sand and gravel with their meal, their teeth often wear out and fall down. That's not a problem, though, because manatees have what's called marching molars. New teeth are constantly growing in the back of a manatee's mouth, and as they get pushed forward, they wear down, eventually falling out altogether. Babies are born underwater and stay with their mother for around 2 years. Although they originally need help to reach the surface, an adult manatee can hold its breath for about 15 minutes. Harmless and slow, these gentle and charismatic creatures are highly endangered. Boat strikes, trash dumping, and cold stress all threaten their numbers, and conservation efforts are in place all across the nation. And to wrap it up tonight, we'll be highlighting a quote from Rainer Maria Rilke. Spring has returned. The earth is like a child that knows poems. For Youth Beat, this is Lindsay, here on Columbus Community Radio. Good night, Columbus.
Youth Beat Radio is funded by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at Ohio State University, the Ohio State University, and the Ohio State University Extension's Outreach Program, as well as the Puffin Foundation West and private sponsors. Check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu or follow us on our Twitter page or our Facebook page.